All right. Hey, guys. You're listening to Variety Radio Online. I'm Emily, and on the line with me today, I have Chad Michael Collins, and we're going to be talking about his new movie, Sniper Ghost Shooter. How you doing today, Chad?
Well, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So for those that might be listening who might not know, catch us up on the Sniper series, because this is like the third movie in the series, as I recall. So, you know, catch us up to speed on what's been going on.
It is. We are inching towards double digits, but for right now, we're at number six in the entire franchise. And this franchise started back in the early 90s with the original Sniper, Tom Berenger, and that movie starred Billy Zane, and they made a couple more, and then the franchise kind of went away for a little bit. They rebooted it about 5-6 years ago and basically asked me to come aboard and play Tom Berenger's son. And so the torch has kind of been passed to me, and I've done three movies since they've kind of rebooted it and reimagined it. And a fun, wacky cast of characters has shown up in the three that I've done. Billy Zane's been back for a couple and is in this new one, and Tom Berenger himself showed up for the last one we did, which was Sniper Legacy in 2014. So we are 2016 Sniper Ghost Shooter. This is number six in the franchise.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So what was that like, kind of like obviously starting out with the third movie, which was your first, and then now two movies later, what was that kind of like to kind of go in and like reboot a series and kind of fill in something that had already been started? Was it kind of strange, or was it almost like starting over?
Well, I was excited about it, obviously. This came at a time when I was just starting to do the acting stuff and starting to take it a little bit more seriously. And I had done a movie for Sony and Sci-Fi Channel called Lake Placid 2. And the producer from that on the Sony studio end, he thought I was a dead ringer for Tom Berenger. It had been his vision to get this franchise off the ground after, I think it was dark for about 9 or 10 years. And so he, of course, approached us, and it was originally imagined as possibly an origin story where I would be a young Tom Berenger's, you know, in the jungles of Vietnam, and it would be a flashback, flash forward sort of thing. That idea went out the window, and they just decided to make it a present day ongoing series. And that's where I stepped in, beginning with Sniper Reloaded in 2011. So the character is Sergeant Brandon Beckett, and I, again, has my third movie. So, you know, he's grown on me.
Yeah. So what was that like, kind of like step back into his boots, I guess, you know, for this third movie? You kind of had time to build the character. Is that something that you like as an actor, to kind of be able to jump back into a role that you've already done and kind of unpeel more layers?
It is fun. And, you know, where Brandon is now for this movie compared to where he started when I first kind of introduced the character is night and day. And the character himself started out as a guy who never knew his father, but knew of his father's legend, you know, the best sniper in the world for the Marine Corps, and, you know, following dad's footsteps, but kind of in a stick-it-to-the-man kind of way. Of course, Brandon goes into the Marines, but he decides he wants nothing to do with the long gun, the sniping approach to things, and he's adamantly opposed to it, and decides to just be an infantry, you know, got boots on the ground soldier, but very soon discovers that, you know, there is more to it, and it is a complicated life, and he's forced into learning and discovering he has a really great, I guess, genetic predisposition for shooting people from 1,000 yards away. So,
So, you guys obviously shot this, like, on location over in the Middle East, correct? Turkey, I believe, and a few other places. What was that like to kind of be in that? Not, you know, it's not like you were in a hostile atmosphere per se, but like kind of to step into that kind of area and to shoot a movie like this over there. What was that like?
Right. Well, the bulk of this movie was shot in Bulgaria, which is a beautiful little country that sits above Greece on the Black Sea. And Bulgaria is wonderful, and this movie feels a bit epic in scope because of the locations. We probably changed locations 6 or 7 times in a 1 month shoot. So we were constantly on the move, and we were everywhere from the Black Sea coast and sand and ocean and blue all around us to deep dense forests to the top of a 10,000 foot ski resort mountain in May, which was still brutally cold and crazy conditions. And then we finished up in Turkey itself, right in the heart of Istanbul, the famous Galata Bridge that joins Asia to Europe, because Istanbul and Turkey sits on both sides, and it's the gateway to Asia. So the crush of people and the mosques and all of that kind of feel, it's all in this movie. And it's you know, it's another world as an American going over there, different languages, different cultures, different everything, unbelievable landscapes and stuff that you've never seen before. So I think it really captures, you know, what we were trying to accomplish in this movie, just with the different looks, the different feels. You do feel like you are off somewhere very far away, and that's kind of all throughout this movie.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. What was your favorite place of all those locations that you got to shoot in?
You know, there was, I had, this is my second trip to Istanbul. I actually went to Istanbul after we wrapped Sniper Legacy in 2014. I had just spent a week down there just to have the experience, and very, very cool. Obviously, unbelievably historic, and such a fascinating place to be. And I've also been to Bulgaria 5 times for films, so I've kind of grown to know and love that place as well. But I have to say, you know, as hard as it was to shoot for a week on top of a 10,000-foot mountain, you know, with 3 feet of snow, it was cold, it was wet, it was pretty miserable at times, but it was just breathtaking up there. Just trees over here and mountain peaks for as far as the eyes can see. That was really, it kind of spoke to the country boy in me from upstate New York.
Yeah, I can imagine mountains and all that, just kind of detached from the world, and you're kind of just up there by yourself. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you said spending time up in the snow and the ice and cold, like it seems like obviously you kind of really got into the action and everything in the movie. What was it like to shoot scenes like that where you're like, you're supposed to be in the military in war, kind of nitty gritty? Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, you know, these movies are always really heavy on the action, and, you know, all credit to our director, Don Michael Paul. He did Sniper Legacy, he did Sniper Ghost Shooter, so we worked together again on this, and we also did a World War II movie for Sony called Company of Heroes. He's really great at the action stuff, and he knows what he needs, and he knows what the audience responds to. So it's always a physical shoot, you know. I mean, you've got, you know, by the end of a take, there's just gun shells everywhere, of course. But, you know, there's a lot of hand-to-hand combat and a lot of sprinting up hills and through snow and mountains and running and jumping and sliding and diving and tackling and punching and kicking and, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. You know, every single day there's some sort of amazing kind of action element. So, you know, at the end of it, I always joke that it's a well-earned vacation, and I did take a vacation after this one, and I went to Italy and Greece, and I definitely relaxed.
That sounds like a good plan. So speaking of like action, how much of the stunt work in the film did you get to do yourself? Because obviously sometimes there's things that you can't do for safety reasons or whatever, but like how much of the action did you get to do?
You know, I just did a movie, and a stuntman I talked to, he was my double, and we did end up using him because I'm fairly capable of what they need to do for the camera, with the fighting stuff and the action stuff. And, you know, we called this guy to set, and he just nailed it. I said, look, man, I know you've been standing around all day, but I really feel like I can do this, and I just would rather do it if you don't mind. And he said, no. He's like, anytime an actor can do this stuff, it's going to be so much better for the film. So he's like, by all means. So I really like to be really hands-on with the action stuff as much as they let me do. And I would say in this, I probably did about, you know, 85% of all the action stuff. There was one scene I didn't do where you know, my stunt double had to throw himself down a mountain for 50 feet. So, yeah, they weren't cool with me doing that, of course. But I'd like to think I could still do it. I just might not be able to walk after, but, you know, I could have done it in one take. It's the pride.
And I'm guessing, obviously, that required a lot of training beforehand. Like, I'm sure you had to be in great shape to do things like that.
Yeah, you know, I always try to come in shape. I always try to stay in shape. I'm always pretty active in general. So, but yeah, you know, it's a military role, so I always try to take a good month or 2 months before I go and really kind of tailor my workouts and my stuff towards what they would do, you know, for their PE, for their physical stuff, you know, everything from your body weight exercises and your push-ups and your pull-ups and your chin-ups to stuff like that. But, you know, just it really helps you look the part. It really helps you feel the part. But, you know, the crazy thing is that you can't really train for is, you know, lugging around a 30-pound rifle forever and running with that thing and whatever. It's not really a gym setup that prepares you for carrying a sniper rifle for days on end. So that's all the credit to the armed forces, men and women who do that, and the size of their biceps must be incredible.
Yeah. Speaking of all the armed forces, what was that like to know you're going to portray, like, someone in the military, obviously people in our country hold in very high regard? Was that intimidating at all, or did you talk to people beforehand so that you kind of had an idea? Just, I guess, what was your feelings on stepping into a military role?
You know, it's. I always have a personal policy with this stuff because, you know, the military and ex-military, they watch these movies, and they will see things and look for things and notice things. And, you know, we're always blessed with a great technical advisor, someone who is usually a veteran and has experience and has lived this life. And I go into every single one of these movies, you know, with no ego, and tell them right off the bat that, you know, I may have done this before. I may have done a couple movies like this, but let's just me and you start right now. Like, I don't know anything. And let's just start from the beginning. And you tell me what's true to form, what's correct, the proper way to do this, and the Marine way of doing this. And they're always really, really open and super helpful and really, really wonderful. So I really lean on them. And, you know, I think you're dumb not to. I mean, they've lived the life. They know exactly what it takes and what's required and how it looks and how it feels. So, you know, it's a blessing to have, you know, we had a great guy named Pete Stone, a Marine who'd been overseas and seen action. And he was just awesome to work with and, you know, just super helpful. And a lot of the actors show up and some of them have never even held a gun. So, you know, it's a tough job. And he was awesome and he rose to the occasion. And I think we all look that much better for him being there.
Yeah, for sure. And then have you heard any kind of, what's the reaction then? Like, I guess, have you heard from people in the military, like, response to the prior movies or just working on this one, the people that you worked with, what was their kind of reaction and response?
You know, I have a cousin named Jeff Jones, if you're listening. And when you listen, shout out to my cousin who's been on a couple tours overseas. He's a Marine who did his training in basic down at Camp Pendleton down here in Southern California. He loves these movies, and he's excited for this one coming out. And I think in general, the response I usually get is pretty favorable. And, you know, it's a movie. We can't get everything right, and we don't have months to make these things, so we do the best that we can. But I just overall, the feedback and the response from the people who have lived this is good, and they enjoy them. And I actually have become Facebook friends and very chatty and friendly with a female scout sniper named Angela. And we have nice conversations. And, of course, she'll make a little dig here and there about something that isn't quite so true or accurate in the movie. But then again, you know, we have to work with cameras and stuff like that. So you kind of got to cheat some stuff here and there. But overall, she's really wonderful. And she shares her experiences with me and generally seems to think that these movies are good enough, close enough in terms of duplicating the real deal. So yeah, it's a sign of approval, right?
That's good. And well, thank you to her and your cousin for their service, obviously, to our country.
Absolutely.
That is very, very honorable of them. So obviously you said this is a very short timeline. You said you shot it in a month. Is that correct?
About a month. Yeah, we worked on it for about a month.
So do you think we're having TV credits and whatnot as well? Those are kind of a more of a shorter shoot as opposed to other movies that maybe are months and months and months. Do you think that working in TV and then the shorter frame movies, that kind of prepared you for the timeline of work-wise? Like, what's that difference like, I guess, working in on a TV show and then maybe like a movie?
Yeah. No, it's very, very different. And you know, from a movie perspective, you're creating the world, you know, the film world, the movie world from the ground up. And it's an interesting adventure, and you get to take a character from page one to page 90 in that script. And there's a lot of room to grow and shift and change and kind of layer that character. And it's really nice. And, you know, it's kind of cliche, but it's like every actor says, like you do become tight with everybody, your crew, your other actors, all the people involved, because, you know, you are, you know, to steal a military term, you are in the shit together, you know, and you're together for a while, and it's tense, and it's long days, and it's hot sun and freezing cold mountains, and, you know, every single day is a battle to knock out those 6, 7, 8 pages on the call sheet and get on to the next day. So you do become really close, and it's a nice opportunity for actors to take a character from starting someplace and finishing someplace really different. The TV stuff tends to move fast. These series are really well-oiled machines almost all the time, and it's you know, to do a one-off guesting here and guesting there is an awesome experience every single time, but you're there to serve kind of the overarching storyline and the major characters and stuff like that. So this is always fun for me to sink my teeth into, because it's, you know, I get to play the lead, and I get to take the character Brandon and take him someplace new, and it's just a fun ride.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, TV shows, it's kind of like, it's very different, it seems, than movies. Like, they're mm-hmm. almost a movie in themselves if you watch the whole thing. But
yeah.
Nowadays, most TV shows, if you watch the whole thing, and it's like, wow, that was like, I just watched 22 movies in a row. Like, that was a lot.
Exactly. For real.
Very cool. So, obviously, with this, it's kind of like an action role, and then you've done kind of crime shows. Obviously, me and my coworker Rachel, who covered Once Upon a Time, know you from Once Upon a Time. And
yes.
So, like, differences in those, which do you like the most, I guess, like, role-wise, like the action or more of like the kind of sci-fi fun or the,
you know,
edgy crime?
I love, you know, and I just always talk about, you know, what I grew up loving, and, you know, acting was never the goal and it was never the thing. I moved to LA having no inclination and no interest in acting, but when I did fall into it and I started to treat it a little bit more seriously and play with it, I just kind of, you can't help but shake your roots, you know? And I grew up with G.I. Joe's, the figures, the comics, you know, the animated movie, the cartoon show. I was just obsessed. I loved all that sort of stuff. And I also grew up reading, you know, Tolkien and The Hobbit and all the fantasy stuff and reading comic books and, you know, the Next Generation, Star Trek, and watching Quantum Leap and so X-Files and all this sort of stuff was like a huge, you know, kind of nerdy, geeky mishmash of my favorite things, and video games and role-playing games and Legend of Zelda. So I've always had a bent for the fantasy and the nerd and the geek and the sci-fi and then, of course, the military stuff. So as an actor, anytime I get to be a soldier or a cop, it's a fun ride because I just love it. And anytime I get to do sci-fi stuff or Once Upon a Time type kind of alternate universe fantasy Frankenstein's monster stuff, it's like I'm in heaven, you know. And I look back to my favorite movies and TV shows, and, you know, I've been pretty blessed to be able to, you know, have worked and enjoyed the work doing the sci-fi stuff, the supernatural stuff, the fantasy stuff, and the military stuff. So for me, it's you know, it's just this playing pretend for a living thing that it really feels like I'm just a kid again, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, so Sniper Ghost Shooter, it comes out August 2nd?
August 2nd, yeah.
Perfect, and that'll be in theaters?
It's going to be video on demand. It's on digital.
Perfect.
And also DVD Blu-ray. It's not going to be in the theaters, you know, not that we
not that
we wouldn't take down Suicide Squad with box office numbers, but you know, we decided to let Suicide Squad have their own little run and leave them alone because we're nice people. We're nice people.
Definitely. Well, people definitely have to look out for that on August 2nd.
Yeah.
And then, so what's next, I guess, for you? I saw something about a digital series, possibly, and some things you got in the works. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I shot a fun recurring role for a new series that's coming out on Hulu. It's called Freakish, and it's going to be a 10-episode, 30 minutes an episode. It's a horror series, horror TV series, about some high school kids that get trapped in a small town. A chemical explosion at the local chemical plant basically turns the unlucky townspeople into mutant, flesh-eating freaks, and so they are trapped in an isolated, locked-off high school, trying to fend off the oncoming freaks, and also kind of uncovering a bit of a conspiracy as to why and the circumstances surrounding this accident. And the series, you know, takes place about their fight for survival. I play a character who shows up on the scene, and who knows? Who knows what his agenda is? Who knows if he's there to help or to harm? I guess you'll have to tune in this October and see.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all I got. Is there anything else you'd like to let our listeners know about, either about this role or things you got coming up in the future, besides what you mentioned, obviously?
That's the next thing to look forward to for now. I've got some other projects in the work, but once those details are able to be acknowledged and reported, I'm happy to update you guys. But, yeah, Sniper, Ghost Shooter, August 2nd. Me, Billy Zane, Dennis Haysbert, bad guys dropping, good guys hopefully winning. Guess you'll have to watch and find out.
Most definitely. Well, thank you so much, Chad, for calling in and chatting with me today. It was great talking to you.
You too. Thank you very much.